in Rish Mem Dalad, new Simon tonight, the idea of standing up for Talmud Chacham / somebody who is older. So the tour, Rish Mem Dalad, simply just says, "If they say the Takum Adarta Penezak," that's the pasuk, that it stands up in front of somebody who, while Seva needs to be translated, and Zaki needs to be translated. Shemitzvah Asi La Kum Ifnei Kol Chacham, that's a mitzvah to stand in front of all Chacham, Afilu Einu Zakein, even if he's not a Zakein. What does he mean, a Zakein? It sounds like he's not wise, not Talmud Chacham. Okay. Al Yanot Yanik V'Chachim Afilu Ein Rabbo. Rab, that even if he is a young person and wise, even if he's not your Rebbe. So it seems like there's two different categories. So we'll be so we'll say how we get there. V'chim Yifnei Shiyavu Shehu Mufla V'chim Yifnei Sheva Shehu Mufla G'zikheina Tainu Ben Shivim Mitzvah Lakum Efanav. And somebody who is unique because of their old age, which means that they're above 70.
I'm almost there.
Yeah. Mitzvah Lakum Efanav. So there's a mitzvah to stand in front of him as well. Okay, so this gets explained in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says, yeah, that's from the beginning, that's from the Gemara of the Sefer Kedushin, where it says, Tana Rabbanim, if they save a takum, yachal afilim if they zachin, maybe even Ashmai, even if it's a.
So where is that?
On the Beis Yosef in Aleph.
Top Rishit Zion, top left.
Well, you're. Oh. No.
Tap
left? No, now we're in Tef Rishit Ches. The bottom of Tef Rishit Zion, which then goes on to, that's the Bach you're looking at.
What's the Bach?
Right, we're in the Beis Yosef. Tana Rabbanim, if they save a takum, the top line of Tef Rishit Ches. You're not on the right page.
I'm in Tefer Shid Ches.
I think it's still Tefer.
Yeah, but you're not.
Okay,
we can save a talk.
I got it.
So you have an extra. You have a different.
I was on the right page.
Okay, you both have a different printing. Okay, so now even if he is a, I don't know how to translate Shemai, the Art Scrolls translation in the Gemara is uniquitous.
Iniquitous,
yes.
Not sinful?
Right, so it can't be sinful. We're going to see it. It doesn't mean sinful. It doesn't mean he's wicked. It means that he's not so wonderful. So I would have thought even a Zakin Ashmai, Satan Lomer Zakin, in Zakin El Chacham. That therefore tells you Zakin, that Zakin refers to a Chacham. So that's the Bryce. Shneimar, Asfali Shiva Ish Mizikne Yisrael. Hashem says, gather me 70 people from the elders of Israel. And that those are referring to people that are wise. That's establishing the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yosef Gluli Omer, no, in Zakin El Misha Kana Chachma. That somebody who is Zakin is only somebody who is acquired wisdom. So, and then that's Shita number two. The Gemara is going to ask what the difference is between those two. And then Isi ben Yudai mer mifnei seva takum afilu kol seva mashma, even anybody who is older. So Rabbi Yosef Gluli Hainu Tana Kama, this is still a quote from the Gemara, even though it's spread out over two dafim. But the Gemara asks, wait a second, Rabbi Yosef Gluli sounds like he's saying the same thing as the Tana Kama. He said, no, it could be Nayu. Yonik v'chacham, the nafk minu would be somebody who is a young, wise person. Tana Kama savar yonik v'chacham lo. Rabbi Yosef Gluli savar afilu yonik v'chacham. The first person would say he needs to have both. He needs to be both learned as well as old, as well as physically old. And Rabbi Yosef Gluli says, nope, even a yanik v'chachim, even a wise, young wise person would be somebody you would stand up. And then the Gemara actually mentions that towards the end, Amar Rabbi Yehuda halach ki isi ben Yehuda. The halach is not like either one of those, rather like isi ben Yehuda, who seemed to say that you only stand up in front of old people, not mentioning wisdom at all. So, fine. So Rashi says, yeah, kol seva mashma, anybody who is old, v'afilu zakin ashmai, even this person who is in that category. Now, I say it can't be somebody who's wicked, because wicked is out of these categories. One would not show cover to a wicked person. This just means somebody who's, old. So Kasav Aran, Sanir ben Feirish Rashi, the Isi ben Yehuda, Sfiru Lake Rabbi Yosef Gluli. So it seems like based on Rashi's pshat, that Isi ben Yehuda is assuming like Rabbi Yosef Gluli, be Yonik V'chakim, right? With regard to the Yonik V'chakim, meaning he would be included also. V'chakim Mistabra, and that makes sense. The Kevin, the Sphira laid the Seva, Afilu Ashmai. That because it says Seva, it sounds like even an Ashmai, Alma Zakein Bapi Nafshe, meaning that's the Seva is referring to somebody who is this Zakein Ashmai, but that still leaves Zakein. They're both mentioned in the Pasuk, right? It says Mithne Seva Takum, and it also says V'adar Tarta Pnei Zakin. So if the Seva is referring to a iniquitous elderly person, Zakin is still Zakin. Who is a Zakin? A Zakin is not an elderly person, rather a young person, a young Talmud Chacham. So the young Talmud Chacham is now going to be in on the list of people that one is that one would stand up for. So Amo Zakin Bafi Nashi Midrash Midrash Velo Kaya Seva Lianik V'Chakim Ata Dei Zakin V'Chakim Kamar Lama Li Mishum Chachma Typically Mishum Zikna V'Lefizek. And it can't just be talking about an old wise person, because there's no Chiddush there, right? The old person is being stood up for anyways, because he's even a Zakin Ashmai gets stood up for, obviously a Zakin Chachim. So rather you can get this extra one over there. There, standing, that tall, So therefore you would stand for him, because even if he is a young wise person, that seems to be included. So everybody actually, and at the end of the day, seems to be inclusive of both extra categories, not just an old wise person, but an old non-wise person and a young wise person are both people that we would show covet for. This is specifically referring to somebody who is.
Zakin always means wise. That's made old.
I mean, in the language of this pasuk, it could mean wise. I'm not sure. Always. Yeah, call Rabbi coming up for that. I don't know. So v'chasav aran. Okay, and then there's some. Yeah, okay, and there's some details that are discussed about what that is, but okay, we'll leave that. Maybe we'll just cover all the Beis Yosef here, and then we'll go and cover what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So in Beis in the Beis Yosef, he comments, right, "Me'ema saichayev lachem mifleihem, kishiyagil atoch arba mosav, asher yavru keneged panav." So, and when is it that one is required to stand? Meaning, you know, at what range does one have to stand for this person, for this young wise or elderly non wise person? So mishigil l'toch arba amosav ashi yavru mikneged panav. So the Torah's language is when he cuts within 4 amos of you until he leaves you. So it sounds like until he leaves your presence. So where does he get that from? So the Gemara, Beis Yosef now quotes the Gemara, Sham yachl yamlo mipanov mimakom rachok. Maybe you would have to stand from him from far away. So tamalomer takum viadarta. Lo amarti kima el bimakom sheish hider. Meaning you would only need to stand when there would be a hider, when it would actually be respectful to stand up for the person when he's on the total other end of the room and nobody's going to recognize why you're doing it. So that's not going to be considered a hider. So then it says, Ezuhi kima sheish behider. What is that? So Avi Omer ze arba amos. So that's referring to arba amos. So Perish Rashi elva makom sheish lo hider b'ma amido tayin toch arba amos de mucha milsa shemipanav hu omid. Unless there would be right. Rashi explains that the only time when there would be a hider is if he's within dalet amos of you. Now he doesn't explain the second half. Actually yavru mikneged panav until he leaves your face. Where does that come from? And the truth is, I'm not really sure. The Gemara has two places where it on those dafim where it talks about this, and neither of the category it talks about a nasi. Nasi has to be as soon as he enters the room, and a gadol dor also, I believe, where as soon as he enters the room. But neither of them, and then there's this where it sounds like he's going to stand up from within dalet amos, and you can sit down when he's dalet amos away. So I really, it's a mystery to me why the Torah is passing this way. Beis Yosef doesn't mention it, as you can see. And the Shulchan Aruch, however, quotes the Torah, as we'll see, and has that idea as well. So I'm not really sure what the source is for the waiting until he leaves your presence until you can sit down. And it's practically very difficult. I mean, what does it mean that he's in the Beis Medrash, so now you can't sit down until when? I guess until he sits down. But
Dalet Amos isn't that far away.
Correct, but Dalet Amos is close, meaning you wait to stand up until he's within Dalet Amos. But then it continues on and says, and when can you sit down? When he leaves your presence. Well, it sounds like it's not. It's not the same as Dalet Amos, because if it was, then that's what it would use that language in both ends. Right, that part of it is a no presence, meaning in the room. So I'm not really sure where we get that shear from in terms of can't sit down until it leaves your presence. Then there is a...
Go ahead.
I'm off topic. I
wonder
what you
said. So he's beyond Daladamos? And that's not considered leaving the presence?
So I don't think so, because otherwise the Gemara would say that. Meaning the Gemara changes its terminology. Well, sorry, the Gemara doesn't change its terminology. That's my problem. The Gemara seems to say Daladamos and Daladamos. The Torah here seems to change the terminology.
Where else does the Torah say presence? I mean, we have to...
Well, it's from the Gemara.
The way to establish, though, that the Torah is not using presence as...
Yes, but the Gemara... But he's quasi-quoting the Gemara, and the Gemara uses those terms differently from each other. The Gemara is using by a Nasi, it's presence, and by a Talmud Chacham, it's within Dalai Lama.
Also Chanukah.
Chanukah?
Where does he get 70 from?
70 is from the Mishnah, we assume it's from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos.
The reason I ask is because I heard a shir.
It might be 60.
That's correct.
Yes.
And what's his name? The Arizal.
Yes. It's not put on 60.
And he has a question. He says
he died at 40, though.
Since we're talking about the Araisa, we're supposed to
yes.
Why are we not mocked on 60? Why are we not?
That's a good question. What Weiss raised this question?
No, I heard from my friend.
Okay, so I was going to mention this later, but he does point, I think, quotes from the Chazon Ish that yes, it's true. Safik deraisa l'chumra, but there's a chazaka against it. What's the chazaka against it? That everybody starts at zero, right? Zero becheskes not being 70,
uh-huh,
until you know that the person is. Now he does add in the footnote. He adds in, "Aye, but there's reglayim ledavar." What's the reglayim ledavar? He looks 70, right?
Why not 60?
I mean, so I think the Shulchan was where did he get 60 from? So 60 is based on, he does have a source here where that comes from.
Could 60 simply
maybe because of the army? Maybe the army 60, wasn't it?
50, isn't it?
50. Could 60 simply be a siag, since you're going to go by appearance? If someone appears, if you worry about someone appearing 60, yeah, you'll certainly get them if they're 70.
Here, Amla Matsinu, Amla Matsinu Deyab Rishonim, amongst the Rishonim, so he quotes from the Rashbats and several Achronim, and trying to explain Unklus, okay, that would be from 60. The Achronim Tzayenu Shechin Das Ha'ari, the Achronim that say that, yeah, that's what the Ari thought. The Chasu Kama Achronim Lachushul Deyazu, Kedivri Ari Ne'manim Alpi Hasod, Divri Elukim Chayim. Okay, and there's the Achronim that say one should be machbir on it, because the Minchas Chinuch is saying that. Well, okay. Where did I see that thing with the Chazaka? Alright.
Were there a lot of people who lived to 70?
Yeah, so I was wondering about that this entire, as you learn the sugya, there's two sociological questions I think one can ask. One is, right, how many people were 70 as opposed to nowadays how many people are 70? The second sociological question is maybe standing isn't considered derech kavod anymore. I don't know, maybe it is. I guess all rise when a judge comes into the room. Right, so I guess it is considered a derech kavod. But one could raise that question. So I think both of them, because it's based on a pasuk, right? Now, I don't know, I'm not sure, I forgot to check, if it's actually a mitzvah d'oraisa or not. It means it's actually one of the 613 mitzvahs to stand up, but it is based on a pasuk, pretty explicitly it's based on a pasuk. So not just based on that sign in front of Eged Buses, but it's actually, before that, was in the Torah itself. So it sounds like, right, one should be machmer on it.
I mean, whenever you see a film of the American president entering a room, you always see everyone stand up.
Right, that's true.
Because you stand up for every 60 or 70 year old nowadays, you won't be.
Right. So maybe that question perhaps changed. I mean, Zakin is based on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says when you're 70, you're old. I don't remember. But the language is there. But that, I think it's here. Mishnah, right? Ben Shivim L'Seva. That's what the pasuk. That's what the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says.
Seva talking.
Right. L'chein Hiskima Rov Harishon V'Achron. That's what most Rishonim assume. If you have Rav Rishonim, you don't have to be chushish for a miyut. And the Shulchan Aruch passes that way, so make her din. You know,
so also came out?
Yeah, so it seems like there shouldn't be a distinction between male and female. It's in the previous section. He says for females, check earlier, but earlier, I checked what he was referring to. There's a girl stand up for her Rebbe, this is in Rishman Beis. So there's a girl stand up for her Rebbe, so the answer is presumably she should. The question then is, what about if she has a woman teacher, that she learned most of her learning from a woman teacher? Doesn't ask about a man learning, right? Not that way. But a woman who learned most of her teaching from a woman teacher, would she stand up for that woman? So he has, he quotes that it's machlokas. Maybe yes, maybe no. I think Menachas Chinuch says no, because they're not what's it called? Mitzuvavos, so they're not commanded in doing it, but maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's the mitzuvah is about her issue, not about the teacher's issue, right? You still give cover for the one who gave it to you. So that's a question that after. I don't think it anything explicitly about that, about whether it would be towards women, but presumably it should. Presumably it should apply to women.
Yeah. One says, Rav Shmuel, what do you do? What does one do at a chasna, at the meal? You're sitting at the meal, and then people are milling about,
right,
including rebbeim, older men, stuff,
yes,
like that. He seemed to be very, very make about it.
Yes.
Don't worry about it. It's okay. You don't have to worry. It's
right. Okay. Maybe he used the Simchas Torah Heter.
Don't have to worry about that.
He uses a Simchas Torah Heter, maybe. In theory, a person needs to stand the entire Hakafos. So people try to, right? Not everybody does. So is there a way of allowing it? So yeah, because anytime a Torah is in movement, so you need to stand for it. So perhaps it's, yeah, but when on Simchas Torah, its makom is much larger than standing something. That's its place. Its place during Hakafos is that area. So maybe one can make the same argument by way.
It's also a concept that you only stand up for any person no more than twice a day, because
it says by one's Rebbe that one would only have to do it in the morning and in the evening. Yeah.
By one's parent, I think.
Yeah, a parent as well.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
But I wanted to ask, what if you're already in a safer category? Do you have to stand up for another safer person? You're 70. You have to stand up for me when I'm 70.
Right, I don't know. It's not on tonight's list.
Yeah, no, that's a
good question.
You shouldn't have to stand up for someone who's 70 and you're already 70.
Why not?
Because I don't know. It seems like it's like they're not any better than you.
Okay, I don't know. Not on tonight's topic. Not on tonight's couple of.
All right.
But the mitzvah isn't because of you. It's because of him. So, I mean, you're doing it for his kavod.
Well, it's you giving kavod to him.
Yeah, but do I have to give
right, but so but your status is irrelevant in determining his status.
Not necessarily.
That's a clue.
I mean, it might be a bizillion in your kavod to stand up for him.
Right, we know that they're
yes, to for me. I have to stand up to him. So the whole thing is like a wash.
Talmud Chacham doesn't have to go find the boss office, which is under the car,
yeah,
and crawl under the car and get it.
Right.
Was it psychotic for
the Dalai Lama
to do that?
Right. It could be subjective when it's.
I'll ask you again in 2 years.
Okay.
According to some, it's 8:60.
That's.
Difficult. Okay, so, anyways, let's. We're still stuck in the Beis Yosef here, so let's just do a few more things here. Number three is Asur Lahatzim, Eitzim, right? One is prohibited to, like, look away in order to avoid this issue, okay? Dalid, we'll get to that in Shulchan Aruch. You don't have to do it if it's going to cause some type of gnai to you, alright? And hey, in bali umnios chayavim lamun milachlam. So he says, if you're in the middle of work, you're not obligated to stop your work in order to do this. So the Beis Yosef here points out, Sham b'braisi yolif midrasha de'in bali ha'umnin rishayim lamun mifnei tamidi chachamim b'shash oskim milachlam. That the b'raisa there said, learns out that a person who's at work is not rishayim. Now what does it mean, rishayim? A person is not. Immediately we'd understand to mean is not permitted or is not supposed to stop working while he's in the middle of his work. So Tosfos there asks about this language. My lishna de'in rishayin, the mashmat de'ika yisura. It sounds like that it's prohibited. Is it prohibited? Not. Why don't you just say usher then? So v'tertzu. So Tosfos gives two answers. V'tertzu de'mayri de'oskim b'mlecha sachirim. It's not your work. It's someone else's work. Right? If you're in the middle of your own works, then you have the right to say, okay, I'm going to be mochel on my work and I'm going to stand up. up. But if you're doing someone else's work, so you don't have that right. So inami, or he says, right, afil b'melechas atzman, even in your own language, ve'enon rishayin, perushan enon chayvin, you're not obligated to. So the two answers of Tosfos seem to explain that word rishayin in two different ways. The first way it says you're not allowed to. Why would you not be allowed to? Oh, you only would not be allowed to if it's someone else's work. And then the second way of understanding is, no, it's your work, and enon rishayin doesn't mean you're not allowed to, it just means you're not obligated to. So there, and b'chasim dvarim ilu rush, varan.
Question?
And he says in the Torah, when he quoted this din, he quoted both halachos. He quoted both ways. He said, if you're working with someone else's stuff, you're not allowed to work. And if it's your own stuff, you don't have to stop. And he passed in like both of those different answers. Those was even though it's probably, you know, there it's not two answers that could both be right. It's sort of two answers trying to both understand the word of the Gemara, right? Which word, the Gemara meant one word and not the other word. But still, nevertheless, that's the way we passed in the Torah, and we'll say that's the way we passed in Shulchan Aruch as well. Yeah.
If you're doing someone else's work, would it differ if you're being paid by the hour or the day versus probably. If it's by the piecework?
Probably,
because if it's by the hour, then you're stealing right. time from the.
Right.
If it's by the piecework,
you
have to do it anyway.
Correct. Yeah, probably would make a difference. There's many differences between the two. They have different titles in halacha. So the term here is, well, probably umnius is the way that it's being used here. But there are different categories in terms of halacha. So yeah, but probably go with that. All right. So if you go to the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Reish Mem Dalet Sif Aleph. First, I saw in the. In the second Mitzvahs here, he actually quotes two reasons why would one stand up for somebody who's older if they're not a Talmid Chacham. One is Yerushalmi seems to he quotes an implication from Yerushalmi because if you got that old, you must be doing something right. I mean, you must be pretty chashuv if you got to be that old. So therefore, he deserves to be stood up for. The second answer, he quotes you from the Maharal, because as a person gets older, they are misuluk min hagashmi hachamri le'isik naso. They start separating themselves from the physicality of this world. Whatever that actually karvlios nivdal binagashmi, until they were almost separate from those enjoyments of this world. Therefore, it is befitting to give kavod to such a person as they have, you know, that the fact that they have become a more spiritual personality. It's not so much connected to the physicality of the world. That itself is deserving of kavod. That's a suggestion of the Maharal. Okay, take it or leave it. Yeah.
You think these halachas apply to all people or only Jewish people?
Yes, I noticed in Sif Zion, I think it comes up.
Okay.
I noticed it in the tour, on the next page, that the issue about standing up for non-Jews.
Okay.
I think he said that you would, you know, a barchu bow would be sufficient. A barchu bow.
Wouldn't that be moti?
Oh, if you're sitting for Chazara Shatz, it would be Modim Bow as well. Right. I think it's more prominent in the Aliyah Barhu setting.
I didn't know I'm standing.
Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch here, Mitzvahs Asei Lakum Bifnei Kol Chacham. It's a Mitzvahs Asei to stand in front of all Chacham. Afilu Einu Zakim, if he's not so old. Ela Yonik V'Chacham, if he is young and if he is a Talmud Chacham. Afilu Einu Rabbon, even if he's not your Rebbe. Rakshu Gadol Mimenu V'Roy Lumun Menu. He just has to be greater than you. And Roy Lumun Menu. And Roy to be able to learn from him. Fine. So we'll stop there for a moment. So first of all, the basically Tshuva adds in here a discussion of whether you would stand up for the Isha's chaver, for the wife of such a person. But that person also get the kavod, so he raises that issue. Okay. But then here he quotes two things in the shach. The first thing, there's a small shach and the big shach. The small shach says, Kasav Beis Yosef Hashem Shibule Haleket, right, you skipped over this, but the Hainu Shalohi Gil Klal HaMitzvos, that even a Yannick, what's the language of Yannick? Yannick sounds like really young, right? And that's what the Shach says, that even somebody who is so young that they're not even chayiv in mitzvos, that would be one would even stand up for them. The younger than bar mitzvoy one could conceivably stand up for. So he adds in here in the Pesach and Mitzvos, it might be, but we don't have such people b'zman hazeh.
If you meet the Vilna Gaon, you might have to do.
Right. Where did I see that language here? It was here someplace. There it is. Chasav Hashach is a dafki imhu chachim. No, v'chachim is a inoshir leminish nosav afilu imhu yannik v'chachim. Even if he's a young person, ach mikol makom is manenu ein matzui shenar kaze yamuflag b'chachim yos misharam. We're not going to find such a person. I think what he's getting at with regards to that is really the next shach. The next shach is pretty lengthy. He's not going to do it, but halfway through, I won't make you attempt to find it. But halfway through, he gets into this. Okay, well, who is this then exactly? Does this mean that he is smarter than you? If he's smarter than you, so that means that depending on where you rank in the class, you're going to be doing an awful lot of standing. So the Shach rather says, "Who gadol mi stam b'nei adam nilkein ama aretz o mishu katan b'tori yechayev lamu if they call adam v'zeh darish ein lo shach." It can't be right. V'od halo chayev b'tori lamu el mifnei hachacham. Right. That defeats the point. The point isn't just somebody greater than you. It means a chacham. V'nir shu if they kach lo kasev b'tori v'chein b'sher makomos. There's a line here. V'sim zeh shachacham tzarch she muflag de pshita who should tzarch she muflag. He has to be greater than the rest of the nation, right? What does it mean? He gives the example of greater than the rest of the nation, meaning he's like the Gadol Ador. But then he raises the question on that and says, well, one second, if you're only talking about the Gadol Ador, well, we stand up for the Gadol Ador anyways. I mean, that's a different halacha, right? You have to show a lot of cover. The Gadol Ador is like your Rebbe Muvak. So rather, he gets smarter than the average chacham. That seems to be the conclusion that the Shach draws. Greater than the average person in town. Right? She's a dafka imu chacham b'tori yosir misharam, the hainu shu muflag yosir mistam b'nei adam, b'chacham b'iru v'kovo, based on your place. V'meinu b'darga zu, einu omu fun of afal pisha gadol imenu. But if he's not at that level, you don't have to stand up for him, even if he's greater than you. And that's what most people seem to agree with. They seem to agree with this Shach. So based on that understanding, you can get back and try to figure and understand what he meant in the first Shach. Right, when you said that even if the child's below bar mitzvah, that's conceivable already. That you have a town where half the town's illiterate, and one kid goes off to yeshiva, which used to be the way it would work. It used to be like one kid that used to go. So yeah, maybe that kid then, when he comes back for Pesach break, and he's 12 years old and can actually learn Chumash and Rashi, and more than that, he can learn Gemara. So he is already in the higher echelon of the shul, of the community. But nowadays, that doesn't exist anymore. That you can have a child below the age of 13. That's going to be able to establish himself in that way. So therefore, you could assume that it's not applicable. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to have that language as well. The Aruch HaShulchan here in Siftal, it says about the kima mechuyev imhu afilu rak muflag b'chachma b'iro v'galdamen v'hu roi l'monu menu. Somebody who is greater than you and that you'd be able to learn from him. Meaning great in the city and great that you'd be able to learn from him. So he needs to be above average and greater than you. Both of those are seems to be the qualifications that one would need. And he quotes the Shach in order to say so. So both would be those would be the two qualifications one would need to achieve this status. There is a Gemara that is quoted in the Pesach and Mishuvos that says that even if somebody has forgotten their learning, once they have attained it, they're already there. He actually had this in the last couple of weeks. This was quoted as well. And it's based on the Gemara. The Gemara comments that Afilu Shivri Luchos were placed in the Aron. Even the broken tablets were put in the Aron. So unless somebody actually completely goes around, you know, it becomes a Russia. I mean, if somebody becomes anti-Torah, so then they lose their status. But as long as, if it's just that because Mishum Choli, because of illness or something along those lines, the person forgets their learning, so they would still be Roy for the Kavod that's being described here.
Question?
Yes.
Doesn't there have to be some definition of a Chacham? I mean,
well,
it seems like there might be a lack of precision, which is usually not found in halacha, because halacha things are precise.
Well, I think this is, I think we're getting into that area, it's very hard to be precise. But I think it becomes, you know.
Well, I mean, if someone is a Rebbe, that's clear. Someone is your own Rebbe, that's clear.
Right.
The other categories are generally clear.
Okay.
But this is could be somewhat nebulous.
Yeah. It happens. I don't know if there's a way around it.
Well, I'm just saying there aren't a lot of other areas in halakha where you have something as somewhat.
I think in areas of an Odin Lamakum there aren't too many areas because we are going to be very specific about what we can be specific about. We can be specific about objects. This is sort of a nebulous area of between an Odin Lamakum and Odin Lachaver. It is an Odin Lamakum mitzvah that has to do between man and man. And in fact, you have to be placing judgments on other people. So anytime you're going to be placing judgments on other people, it's going to be, by definition, going to be imprecise. So I think you just got to work with that.
Even if one person might say, that person's a chacham, I stand for him, someone else might say, no, I don't think he is, and that person wouldn't stand for him.
You could see that happening. Right. Okay, so that's all about the chacham. What about the zakein? So the second half of the Shulchan Aruch here says v'chein mitzvah luck mifnei seva dahainu ben shivim shana, which means that he's 70. That's the way it's pasuk in Shulchan Aruch, despite perhaps some opinions to the contrary. V'afilu hu ama'aretz v'vach shelo yeh rasha, even if he's an ama'aretz, provided that he's not a rasha, and that's what he gets in the Gemara that we quoted before. It seems to be the psak. You can see how the list of Rishonim that he seems to be quoting from. There is an interesting discussion that he has in here on the topic of what about an elder person who is not just an Amma Aretz, but is even like a Chilonim, somebody who is just not religious Jew. What does that person qualify for? So we are used to kind of saying all of those knassos, all of those fines that go against a person who is a somebody who is not keeping the Torah, are generally not applicable today, and everybody invokes the Chazon Ish, where the Chazon Ish says that those kind of knasos, those kinds of penalties, don't work anymore. So therefore we don't impose a knas, we don't impose a fine of excluding somebody from the community. That is the... So that's the way we generally understand it. So would that even apply here? So there is this chuv. He quotes in the Psakim chuv, as he quotes from a Shailos chuv, from a Shevet Ali, from a Vosner, where he saying that it's questionable whether that would apply here, because this is more of a... First, he questions the whole premise of this applying to a Chiloni who lives amongst Jews and certainly knows what Torah Jews, right? So that's a regular question that applies today. My tradition is not to hold that against them necessarily. But this is a kavod issue. This is not just a we're not going to hold it against them. This is a would we actively go and give them kavod? And he seems to be not so sure that one would go ahead and give them that type of respect, to give them the extra type of kavod. The similar type of thing applies with Shiva. There is a Shulchan Aruch seems to say that somebody who is not in keeping with the norms of the community, one would not have to sit Shiva for them. And it seems to even, and immediate reaction is, well, come on, that wouldn't apply to, but I remember this issue came up for me once, not personally, but a Shaila that I was asked, and I remember Shafter say, two occasions, advising me to pass it that way. He said, yeah, you should tell them not to sit Shiva for the parent who wasn't religious. It's like, really? But, he said it's different. He said when it comes to somebody like not cooking for them on Yontif, right? So there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that a person's not religious, you can't cook for them on Yontif, but they have the halacha of being a non-Jew. So that's a knas. That's like a fine. You're holding it against them, and that's not going to apply b'zman hazeh. But to actively go and give kavod, so that you're not mechuyev to do. So generally we do, but if there is a specific reason not to, so Rashef is saying you can. Be melchum, you could be mekel, and they don't have to skip the entire shiva.
Would that also mean not saying kaddish?
So I remember him asking that. I said, does that mean the person shouldn't say kaddish either? I said, no. It sounds like the parent needs some kaddish. But you mean that's for the parents? Good. So if the child's willing to do it,
when you're sitting shiva though, who is that for?
The shiva is. It's a good question. Shiva is for. Both, I think we assume both. I think the Gemara itself talks about this. I'm forgetting, blanking on that. I believe it's we pass in that it's for both. So the parent doesn't earn it if they.
Okay, but then you're still doing it. Still have to do it for yourself.
Unless it doesn't work for you.
Why wouldn't it work for you? Let's see.
So I'll give two examples. One came up very, very fast. One is the example. This was way before I sold Riverdale. That the person passed away, and the partner that they were with, the spouse had died earlier with some kind of partner. The partner said, "I'm not doing the funeral until a week from now, because I'm on a cruise and someone's got to come back." So they're going to hold the body hostage for a week. So, and which meant for this woman who was like having fertility issues, she wouldn't be able to go to the mikvah at the right time and those types of things. So she said, "Tell them not to do shiva." That was one time. Another time was an abusive parent. So the son didn't want to. So he said, "All right, the kid doesn't have to."
Next question: Can somebody during their lifetime say that they don't want their children to sit shiva,
there are details about it. I'm not comfortable doing this. I'm not comfortable answering right now. There is a concept of the year of Avelus, the parent telling the kid, "I'm mochel, you don't need to sit the year out." I've heard such a concept, but with like a Rav who was Masada Kedushin, a lot of weddings and things like that. So the father told them, don't take a year off from going to the weddings. That's part of your job. You should go ahead and do it. But I believe that is up to the parent. Is there an obligation on the child independent of the parent? I don't recall that. I don't recall. But the Pesachim, which on this Shevet Alevi, I didn't find it inside. The Pesachim Meshuvos puts two additional very interesting caveats on that. He says, number one, one interesting caveat that he's quoted as adding on, but I didn't find it inside. He says that if there is a specific reason why the person would be deserved of kavod, even if they weren't religious, he says if they had some type of issue in their life where they were mekadesh shem shemayim in a specific way, or they simply were good people, so then they would then it would be appropriate to continue to stand for them. So you can see that would certainly be applicable in today's society. Okay. Yeah, that's with the older people.
But could that be the reason why you stand for someone older, that it's actually Mekadesh Hashem, for Hashem keeping somebody alive that long?
Okay, maybe.
That's independent of the person. It's just Hashem.
Yeah, but then we do it even for Russia.
Hypothetically.
But we don't. But the plan is not to. So I don't think so. All right, so Beis, Meimah Sechai, when do you stand up? If they Shigil Toch Arba Amos, when they come within four Amos, Ad Sheyavru Mikneged Panav, until they leave your face. I'm not sure, I didn't get into the Gros, seems Gros gets upset about that Ad Sheyavru Mikneged Panav. He might be raising the issue I raised before. I'm not sure what he's referring to in the Gros, but maybe that how long one has to stand is a little unclear. There is an interesting issue of the person stops in your area, right? So you got a tamachach is walking by you got to stand up. You stand up, and then all of a sudden he stops right next to you. So does that mean that that's it? You're stuck standing?
Well, that's not a good thing. That means you get more covered yourself. That should be a good thing.
Yeah, he's not talking to you. He's talking to the guy behind you. So are you stuck standing? So he distinguishes between if you just stop because he's like tired, he's like top on for a moment, so then you should continue standing. But if you stop to talk to someone, so he walks. So in the base matters, he walks over to your area, and he, not to talk to you, but to talk to the guy next to you, but you're in the middle of learning. So you can go back to learning while he, you'd stand up when he gets there, but then once he engages the other person in conversation, so then one would have the right to sit down then. Okay, Gimel. So, Asur lahatsim eina mimenu kodim sheyagila toch arba amos. You can't, avert your eyes until he gets within the four amos, so you wouldn't have to stand up. So that you can't do. The Aruch HaShulchan then adds in that not only is it prohibited to avert your eyes when he comes in Dalet Amos, if you know that they're going to be coming in, it's prohibited to leave the room beforehand also. That if you know that there's going to be some type of big covenant activity and you don't want to interrupt your learning, so you don't have the right to leave and go to the other room either, that's not okay. The Pesachim which was added in, put from somebody, the idea that that would be in the category of that Hashem might go after you during an Eis Tzara, right? That the by mitzvahs, the Gemara says, if in Eis Tzara, Hashem will go after even people that are tzaddikim if they don't wear tzitzis, because even though it's only a positive mitzvah to wear tzitzis, if you don't go, you should go out of way in order to do it. So through here, you shouldn't go out of your way in order to avoid doing these types of doing this mitzvah. Dalet is Einom Nu Yifneim.
Does that mean that, let's say you're in one room and there's a chacham, or let's say even your rebbe or a gadol dor in the next room, and you know he's going to be walking by and he's not going to go into your room, are you supposed to go into the next room?
Yeah, so it doesn't sound like one has a requirement to do so. Maybe it is a mitzvah to do, but I don't think there's a requirement to go out and do it. This is only talking about just make sure you don't avoid the mitzvah saseh. Well, here it is. Aval im he quotes from the Betzel HaChachma, actually disagrees with the Aruch HaShulchan and says it's really only if you avert your eyes. If it would be unrecognizable, there's no prohibition. But if you go to another place, Chashiv ka'osa tachbulos levatel mitzvah, like you're doing an action to not do a mitzvah saseh, the nen shem aleha be'idna dericha, and then you're going to in which case you'll be punished at a time of anger. So which is
that's the kavanah is to do it that way.
Correct.
You really have to go to another place.
Yeah, okay. If you need to go, you need to go. You're not avoiding a mitzvah sase in that case. Yeah. We had, what was today? In First Seder today, we covered Pesach Sheni. So by Pesach Sheni, Rashi makes the comment, these people who came to Moshe, they're obviously big tzaddikim, etc. So how do you know? Like, why do you see that they're, how do you know that they're such big tzaddikim? So, I forget who, points to the Gemara that talks about, and Gemara Bracha says, Eino Doma, the earlier generations, the later generations, the earlier generations would make sure to bring in all their fruit via the main room in order to be chayv and shumas and maaseros, while the later generations, they would do everything they can to avoid being chayv and shumas and maaseros. So whoever this is, I forget, said it, points out that there's that both have a reason why they're doing that. Right, the later generation, they're not Rishayim, they're nervous about Trumas and Maestros. I mean, it's a big responsibility. Once something becomes high, it becomes Tevil, so now all of a sudden you have the responsibility. So it's logical to say, you know what, let me avoid this responsibility and we won't have this problem. So that's what I mean. But the Doros HaRishon would make sure to put themselves in the position where they would fulfill it. Now, there's always a triage there, though, right? One could say, oh yeah, well, let me follow around the Gadol Dor all day, so I'll keep standing up for him. Yeah, but then what else are you going to do all day, right? There's going to be lacking in other things. But at least making sure that one has that possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah, that I mean, seeking ways to fulfill it as opposed to seeking ways to avoid it. That's where they're driving at here. Dalet is Einom Nifneim Lo Veis Akisa Lo Veis Amercha Tzichsiv Takum Ve'Adarta. I mean, the only way if it would be honorable to them, this would not be considered honorable to them. The Ramah gets into details of the rooms, okay? But Hey says Ein Bali Umnios Chayvim Lam Nifnei Tam Lachachim B'Shasha Oskim V'Lachlim V'Im Hu Osik V'Melechas Acherim V'Rotza L'Hachmar L'Asmo Lam Mifanav Ein Rishai. And if he's involved with someone else's work and he wants to be mine, says, oh, I'll be Machmir and stand up for him, Ein Rishai. That is something that is going to be considered inappropriate. So the Aruch HaShulchan, so this, I remember people, you hear this in Shmuzin, people going out to work, saying, you see, the Torah says you got to be careful about doing work and don't skip a second, and all of those, every moment is important. So the Aruch HaShulchan does add into a caveat, it says, V'yirali, that even people that are at work, that, and says you can't stop at all, that's in the old days when they would sit on the floor. And if you get to stand up from sitting on the floor, that means you gotta put something to the side and you gotta, you know, get up and stretch, etc. But if you're sitting at a desk and all it takes is a second to lean up, says that you could do that. That's not really considered a bittul malacha. But still, it behooves the Talmud Chacham to try to make sure that he doesn't do this so much. Meaning, the Talmud Chacham, yeah, that's actually in the next sif. That the Talmud Chacham, it's his responsibility to make sure that he takes a very short as route as possible, so to not be matriach so many people. And if he could go around a long way, so as not to be matriach anybody, so that would be considered a big merit for him. So the so there are these stories of like the Rebbe is sometimes dafka marching through the main square to get people to do it. So okay, that's more of their chinuch than in terms of the meikar adin. Meaning meikar adin, he should the chacham, it's his responsibility to ensure that. That as few people as possible need to do this, which means that if you know you're going to get a bracha at a wedding, you should sit in the front of the room as opposed to in the back of the room. All right. Yes.
Suppose you go to another town and you don't know anybody, and you're in a room.
Yeah.
And somebody enters the room. You don't know who it is, but right. Everybody stands up.
Right.
Are you then supposed to stand up also thinking, well, everyone probably knows something about this man that I know?
I would say use your judgment, unless you know it's against the halacha. So if anybody's ever sat near Rav Shmuel at a wedding, when the chassan walks in, everyone stands up, what does he do? Not. He stays seated. What? At weddings, people stand up for the chassan and the kal. So it's unclear why they should be standing up for them. So Rav Shmuel doesn't. I sat with him at weddings. He just lo yichrav, lo yishachav.
When they go down the aisle.
What?
When they go down the aisle.
They go down the aisle, right? I'm not sure if there's any makor for it.
I don't know how common it was. You know, like when I got married in the 20s, and I think it's a relatively recent.
Yeah.
They're doing a mitzvah.
Yeah.